are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040. Stanza 3 of the hymn Jesus Sat with His Disciples, talking there in those words about the persecution that will come to His disciples. Now, we know the history. His own disciples begin to suffer persecution, real persecution that looks like a jail cell, that looks like martyrdom, that looks like death, that looks like being hounded by their enemies right away. And, of course, the church is peppered with the history of persecution. It has been said, and I haven't seen any statistics, but it has been said that more Christians suffer persecution in the 20th and 21st century, our time, than in all previous centuries combined. So what does it mean? Is it an unusual thing that we should suffer? How is it connected to Jesus' suffering? And how do Christians suffer today? We're going to talk about the blessings of persecution. Dr. Al Culver joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 27th. He's Director of Regional Operations for the Office of International Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Blessed. Al, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be here.
How would you explain the connection between Christian persecution, past, present, future, and the suffering of Jesus himself for his church?
Well, Jesus himself said that those who followed after him would suffer. And so the martyrs who follow after Christ, those who suffer for the sake of Jesus, their suffering is connected to his suffering. It's because the world hates Christ. And for that, in that sense, it's totally and completely connected.
You travel extensively, probably more than any person I've ever known, to all different corners of the globe, and talk to Christians in all different kind of contexts. Can you give us some examples of present-day persecution that you have seen or heard about?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we tend to think of the gladiator kind of persecution or Roman persecution where Christians are tied to a stake and martyred or tortured for their faith, and that does happen in parts of the world. In Ethiopia, there's a number of Lutheran pastors who have faced suffering, persecution, and martyrdom because of their faith, just like ancient times, you know, being stoned to death for the faith. In other cases, the persecution's much more, I don't want to use the word sophisticated, but it's more subtle. And it's the very same sorts of hints of persecution we're starting to see in our own country. So, for instance, in some countries, the persecution takes the form of you want to build your church building or you want to expand your church and you're denied the building permits. But it's all because you're a Christian.
So let's talk about how this marks the history of the church, how there's really not a time, even when the church is kind of in ascendancy, when it's the major cultural and political force in the globe, there's never a time when Christians aren't suffering some kind of persecution. How would you describe it?
Well, you know, you have the period in the early church, and the Diocletian persecution is probably the time period when most Christians think of Christian persecution when the Roman Empire's putting people to death, and then there's any number of martyrs and confessors of the faith who, as they faced the barbarians, the Germanic peoples, you know, in the early Middle Ages, late Dark Ages time period, who suffered for the faith. But wherever the church is at, there will be suffering and persecution. And Martin Luther talks about the cross as being one of the marks of the church, that is suffering.
The converse of that, I guess people often wonder, is if the church has respite, moments of peace, maybe even, you know, an extended time of peace, does that necessarily mean, if it's not suffering overt persecution in that place and time, that it is ceased to be the church, it's not being faithful?
No, absolutely not. However, where the Lord grants respite and peace, we certainly have crosses, trials, challenges in front of us. Sometimes the cross even takes the form of, let's take an example from Ethiopia. We have more people coming to church than we have pastors. What are we going to do about this? How do we make more pastors? So that's still a suffering or a challenge, but that's not in the same sense of Satan actively persecuting you and coming after you.
I mentioned a few moments ago when I was bringing you on that I wasn't necessarily familiar with all the statistics, but can you provide us with at least some kind of general numbers to give us an idea about the kind of persecution we're talking about in present-day Christianity?
Well, it has been estimated that during the 20th century, 70 to 100 million Christians died for their faith. And they say that that one century is more than all of the other martyrs of the previous 19 centuries.
What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that we're definitely living in the end times. So and it's amazing to me how Satan can fool us into not realizing the number of martyrs in our current day and age. In fact, I actually think that's one of the insidiousness examples of what's going on in this day and age. In the early church, we have lists and books of martyrs. And today, the martyrdom of the church has happened with such efficiency that 70 to 100 million people were wiped out, and we don't know any of their names, or very few of them.
So is it bad politics? Is it bad government? Is it Christians turning a blind eye to the sufferings of their neighbors? Are the solutions, I guess what I'm asking, Al, are they better government or democracy or all those things we often think about as solutions for the terrible persecution of Christians?
Well, I don't think any of those things are solutions to persecution. In fact, depending on how you read the book of Revelation, it sounds like persecutions only increase towards the end, which I think is exactly what we're seeing. This is what Jesus predicted. If you ask, are all of those things you mentioned a component of perhaps the increase of, were they all used as tools, a bad government and so forth, were they all used as tools to persecute Christians? Of course. And this is one of the reasons we pray for our government in church, is to give us the space, give us the peace so we can do our work.
With about a minute before we take our break, what should the church's response be, regardless of when or how persecution comes?
Well, I think it always must be met with prayer, to remain faithful, prayer to give a good and faithful witness to Christ, and a prayer for steadfastness. So I think the answer to that is prayer.
Dr. Al Culver is our guest. We're talking about the blessing of persecution on this Tuesday, May the 27th. He's Director of Regional Operations for the Office of International Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness titled Blessed.
Turn. Misquoted Bible Passages, Christian Hymnody, Confessional Lutheranism, Christianity and Culture. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.
Every week, Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout cooks up 29,000 pieces of chicken, 980 gallons of meat sauce, 310 loaves of fresh bread, and 200 fresh pies and cakes. Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout in Granite City, Collinsville, and O'Fallon, Illinois. Ravenelli's.com. Ravanellis.com. Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Al Culver is our guest. We're talking about the blessing of persecution. Al, what does it tell you? You perhaps have a good perspective on this because you have seen Christians in so many different cultures, contexts, countries, political situations, you name it. You've been able to, it must be just a life of culture shock, and jet lag. But the fact that Christians in the United States, I'll just focus on the United States, it's kind of emblematic of the West, have a greater freedom than Christians have enjoyed in almost all of history when it comes to, well, general freedom, but then also the freedom of thought and religion and practice. But at least in the 21st century, 20th and 21st century, find themselves capitulating more to the culture in spite of all that freedom. What does it tell you?
Well, freedom is not always helpful to the church. You know, there is a saying that the seed of the church grows through martyrdom and persecution. And sometimes the freedoms, the very freedoms that we have that are a great blessing from God, we can become complacent. And what happens is we become ungrateful for the Word of God. And this is repeated over in history over and over again, where a group of people become ungrateful for the Word of God, and they sort of forget what it really means to, what a blessing it is to have that word, and what it means to be a Christian. And I believe that's happening in the West. And as we are won over by the culture more and more, you even have the words of Jesus where he says, if he did not cut the time short, there would not be any elect. So, you know, there is this tremendous onward press against the church and against Christians, which can make us, capitulate.
So are there things worse than persecution, than suffering for the faith? Are there, because you're talking there about becoming complacent, is that worse than actually suffering for the faith?
Well, you know, in a certain sense, that's a judgment of God for ungratitude. And, you know, our Missouri Synod, from the earliest days, C.F.W. Walther talked about the passing rain shower. And they would speak about how to celebrate a Reformation. And the very first thing is always gratitude for the word of God and repentance. And when you lose the gratitude and you lose the repentance, then you're in danger of having your heart, if not individually, collectively hardened over.
So how is persecution, which even the apostle admits is unpleasant at the time, how is it actually not only the discipline of God, but also the blessing of God?
Persecution is persecution itself is the attack of the devil, the world, against the church and against Christians. And yet the Lord in Romans 8 promises to turn all of these things for good. And so it's a great, so persecution is a great evil. And we can call it an evil. We can pray to be delivered from that evil. And yet at the same time, should persecution come to us, the Lord promises to work a great blessing from it. He also promises not to give us more than we can endure. And so we may not think we could endure persecution, but if it should come upon us, we have our Lord's promise, and that's what we should cling to, is our Lord's promise that he won't give us more than we can endure and that he will work something good out of it.
Do you think that we are adequately preparing the next generation or the generation after that for the prospect of real physical persecution, the kind of persecution we read about in the book of Acts or that we witness among so many Christians worldwide today?
Well, I think we probably need to have a wake-up call about the possibility. We have certainly, for so many years in our country, been blessed with not only freedom but physical protection. And I don't think we're necessarily prepared for that. And how do you prepare for that is maybe another good question. And part of it is being immersed in the Word of God and realizing that he will preserve us through anything, and being aware of the church's history, that this could happen in a moment's notice.
I'm thinking about that quote that your boss often uses, Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I'm just paraphrasing, where a bishop says, I'm going to die in my bed. My successor is going to die in prison. His successor is going to die as a result of persecution, but then his successor will begin again. What do you think that quote has to say to us today?
Well, this is sort of the pattern of the church's life, where you have a period of apostasy, and during this apostasy period is oftentimes when persecution arises for those in the church who stand up for the faith, and then you have a period of time of renewal or reformation, such as the time of Martin Luther. And then you oftentimes have a period of thriving in the church. So, you know, what President Harrison is quoting there or citing is something that's been seen in the history of the church before, where it's alarming. And I think when President Harrison made that quote, he was quoting a Roman Catholic bishop. And that quote was directly being applied to the United States, that this particular bishop believed he would die in his bed, but his successor might die in prison, and his successor after that might die a martyr. So that's where it becomes particularly alarming for us in the United States.
Is this why we ought to devote part of our energies to attempting, at least in the political sphere, to protect religious freedom, not to avoid persecution, but I guess, for lack of a better word, Al, for the sake of our neighbor and for the sake of the gospel, being him having the opportunity to hear that gospel?
Well, absolutely, and we've been given the gift of our government from our Lord, which means we have the right to certain political processes. We have the right to write to our congressmen. We have the right to protest. We have many rights that we should take advantage of to defend the church, including legal action if necessary. And even if we only buy time for a short period, that gives us that much more time to do work where we're at.
Finally, then, let's talk a bit about the faithfulness of God. If the Christians who live or have lived at times of persecution have spoken about anything, it is often that very thing, God's enduring faithfulness. What are your thoughts there, Al?
Well, we have nothing more certain and sure in this world than what our Lord Jesus has promised us. And when he promises us that he will work all things for our good, that in the formula of Concord, it says that, in fact, all of our sufferings and persecutions and perhaps even martyrdom were predestined. And you think, well, why would our Lord do that? Well, because he's so faithful, he made a promise to us that nothing would ever take us from our hand. And our Lord wanted to ensure that our sufferings in this life, that the persecution we might face for our faith, would never be able to take us from our hand. So he made sure we would never get anything that could take us from him. Our Lord Jesus promised to work all things for good. And the faithfulness of our Lord, that he, you know, it's amazing that a person can undergo persecution and suffering and still sing praises to our Lord. We not only hear about this in the book of Acts when Paul is singing hymns as he's after he's been beaten, but you hear about this from other Christians who have suffered. In the first third of the 19th century in Madagascar, the evil queen came to power, and she was taking Christians off to their death, and she killed about 500,000 in her reign before she died. And about, I think she died in 1864 or so. But the Christians who were going to their deaths were singing hymns, and she became so enraged that she ordered that the soldiers drive spears through them to shut the Christians up. And yet there's the whole time during this, they're singing of the faithfulness of God. It's just truly an amazing thing.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Regional Operations for the Office of International Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Blessed. Al, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
He mentions there the Christians in Madagascar of a generation past. Well, the Lutheran Church in Madagascar has grown to over 5 million Christians, and that's just the Lutherans. And it shows that martyrdom is indeed the seedbed for the church. Actually, the Church of Madagascar is the subject of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. It's true accounts from the Lutheran Church of Madagascar talking about spiritual warfare. I highly recommend it. It's written by a regular guest, Dr. Robert Bennett, and you can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is called I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, or call Concordia Publishing House anytime during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, I Am Not Afraid by Dr. Robert Bennett. When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about how hacker activism, sometimes called hacktivism. We've seen it all over the place. I think Brian Williams just had an exclusive interview with one of the biggest hacker activists in the world. What are the ethical considerations? Then we'll talk about dating with Pastor Sam Schultheis. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. is next in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.